Proverbs 24, and we're going to look at verse 10 tonight. We've moved our way down through the past several weeks and months. Verse 10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." So I want to talk about this a bit tonight, and we're going to deal with what we're going to look at here. Is I want to talk about number one, showing your strength. Number one is the blank there, Roman numeral one, showing your strength. So in the context that we find here of this proverb, the strength that it's talking about is representative of what? You're like, I thought you were going to give us the answers. Well, sometimes I'm going to ask you and see if you... Of our faith. Very good. Yeah, that's the blank. Yeah. You're like, wow, I didn't know we... You're like, you caught me off guard. I didn't know we were going to have to give the answers. Right. So, in the context of this proverb, the strength that he's talking about is representative as a representation of our faith. When you talk about your strength is small, it's saying then that your what? Your faith is small. Okay, this is what it's talking about. So, number one under that, how much faith we have, right? So to ask the question, hey, how much faith do you have? It can be hard to, the blank there is quantify. It can be hard to quantify how much faith you have, right? If I say, you know, how's your faith doing? Isn't that a weird question? It'd be a weird question. So, how's your faith doing right now? It's good. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard thing to quantify. How much faith do you have right now? Is your faith weak right now? Is it strong right now? Where is it at? Where are you at with that thing? It's really a tough thing. Matter of fact, it's tough to say. Now, we would talk about somebody else. We probably, in some respects, might have a better time talking about somebody else. Man, they are faithful. You know, right? When we say somebody's faithful, what are we usually saying? They're faithful to what? Be here. Usually when we're talking about somebody's faithful, they're super faithful. You know what we're saying? They show up. Right? And that's a good, that's a good indicator, not the good indicator, because somebody could show up and have a rotten spirit or something could be going on inside their heart and life. We could never know it because we're good at faking that. I'm getting off track, but the point is this here, it's hard to quantify. That's my point. So under that, A, we speak of our faith both to ourselves and others. So we talk about it. You know, man, I just trust God. You know, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting. We say stuff like that, don't we? We speak about our faith. Man, I'm trusting God. We talk about ourselves. We talk to ourselves about that and how much, you know, I'm just trusting God on this thing, right? We might convince ourselves and then we talk to others about it. But the strength of our faith isn't really known until the day of adversity. It's not really known, that blank there on the beat. It's not really known until the day of adversity. We don't really know how much faith we have or how strong or how weak our faith is until the day of adversity. Not diversity. That's a different thing. The day of adversity. We don't really know. See what I'm saying? Like, if I'm asking you, hey, there's a fellow that wrote a letter, right? And he got published in the Bible by the name of James. He talked about faith, right? He talks about faith and works. He said, show me thy faith without thy works, right? No, and he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So and he says this, faith without works it's dead. If something's dead, you know why it's dead? It's because it was never alive. In this case, it was never alive. And so, because a faith doesn't die, it was always dead. So, how can we see someone's faith? Matter of fact, you know who that someone is tonight? That someone is me. For you, it's you. We're talking about not how we're looking at other people's faith. We're talking about ourselves. How can I really see my faith, the strength of my faith, without there being adversity? And really, the answer is we can't. The only way to see it is in that day of adversity. So B, and here's the thing. Adversity, it will come. Okay? It will. No, not if. It will come. It's going to come. I mean, can I say, listen, it rains on the just and the unjust, right? Everyone on the planet is going to get, adversity is going to come their way. It's just the way it is. It's the way this life is. Many days and full of troubles, right? I mean, this is what this life is full of adversity. It's just the way it is, okay? For everyone, the believer and unbeliever alike, okay? So, number one, under that, adversity is the trouble that comes to our lives. That's when we talk about adversity, it's the trouble that comes to our life. And so, number two, trouble will come, and sometimes it comes often. Y'all had those periods in your life? It seems like it just comes right after another. And then other times, it's at bay. I'm telling you, my wife and I on our trip, I'm telling you, it seems like, maybe people say stuff like this, and I don't usually say stuff like this, but I'm telling you, it seems like God just utterly blessed us all the way through this whole thing. What we're doing and the situation that we got in a great place, got a great situation, and it just, all the way through, we're so thankful, so blessed. It just felt like God blessed to give us a really wonderful time and a wonderful place. And we didn't do a lot of other things, but my wife, and I'm sure she'll talk to the ladies about it, and the ladies, she'll be talking about it for a long time. But my wife likes, I want to say livestock, not livestock, but she likes animals. I like livestock that's on my plate. You know what I mean? But my wife likes animals. She likes to see these animals. And she, I mean, anywhere. Like, oh, there's a squirrel. She wants to watch. I'm like, if there's a squirrel hit, jump. My wife, if I pulled over, she'd go over and take care. I'm like, no, we ain't touching that thing. I'm going to drive on. And she says, I can't look at it then. That's just, I'm like, let me finish them off. You know what I mean? We're different. You know, we're just different. I'm like, whatever. We're always like, we'll go by the water, whether it's, by a lake or river, when it's like, oh, there's a dolphin. I'm like, look, they know dolphin out there. She said, I'm telling you, I've seen one. And then I'll watch for like 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, there's one. I'm like, you're making stuff up. But she says, I see it all the time. So we're out there, and I'm telling you, where we were able to be, she's constantly seeing things. She's seen a humpback whale just jump through. You know, she got to, one morning, I went off for the thing, and she come back, and she's like, tears, and I'm like, are you all right? She just said, I've just been sitting here, so there's been dozens of these whales just jumping. She's just so thrilled, and just, like, why are you crying over that? Because she believed that God just gave her that. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but, I mean, so there's some things that God will do, and I'm telling you, it's so exciting when God just moves in our life that way. But I'm going to tell you, folks, sometimes trouble just comes, and there's times in our life that it seems that it comes kind of rapidly and continuously, and there's periods, there's seasons. Amen? Right? There's times like this. I don't like those times. Matter of fact, I hate those times. But look at number three. We're talking about adversity. It might present itself in many different forms and intensities. Okay? Adversity can come in a lot of different ways. Right? You understand? So when I'm talking about adversity, it could come in different ways. A, under that, it could be as small as catching the red light when we're in a hurry. Now you're like, that's not small. Right? You know what I mean? You ever been like you're in a hurry and you're like you're going and then that person in front of you, you could have gone, right? You ever say that out loud and then after you say that, the person next to you is like, really? And you're like, okay, I shouldn't have said that. But you know, they could have went, and then you're like sitting there waiting and you're watching all these people go. So frustrating. You know, because sometimes you have to wait like 2 minutes. So when I say it's small, it is small, but sometimes we can, but wouldn't we can still consider that a trouble? You're trying to get there. Isn't it something how people can, too? You ever see that guy zipping through? I hope y'all, if you've never seen him, you are them, right? You know, they're zipping through and try. And then, like, you get down the road and they're, like, just one car length in front of you. And you're like, you didn't. But some, what I'm saying is adversity, trouble could come in this way. It could be as small as that light, or really even this. And this is a thing. It's a trouble. Missing a sale on a much needed item, right? You get there and you found out it was just on sale yesterday. The sale sign is still there. You're like, man, I needed this. It's like, yeah, that was, it ended. And they come and rip it down. Like, you rip my heart out with that. You know what I mean? There's a sale or you need something. You know, it's a small thing, but it's still kind of a trouble in our life, isn't it? But to be under that, or it could be to something, a more substantial situation of a sickness that causes us to miss work and lose pay. Now we're getting a little more serious. Now I'm sick. I needed to work. My mom is going through a period in her life right now where she's old, right? But she still needs to work. And she was working. She retired, but still retired. You know, people retire and continue to work, but still needed a day a week. And so now she can't. She got pink eyes, so she couldn't go in. She's a nurse, so you can't go in. It's good not to go in around sick people when you're sick. So, you know, and so she's struggling with that thing. And so, I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you what, when you got a sickness that causes you, or you can't go to work and there's no sick leave and you're losing pay, that's a trouble, right? Different stages of our life, it's more troubling than other times. And, or there could be this thing, or in that kind of level of more substantial, you get scheduled to work with a fellow employee that's not so much fellow. You ever done that? Yeah, he gets that sometimes. You ever work with somebody and you go in and they tell you you're working with them and your heart goes to your foot? You're like, and you almost like want to quit. It's like, oh, it's going to be a long day. And then you find out this is going to be more than a day. You know what I'm saying? It's adversity. It's a problem. It's trouble that comes in your life. So, man, I love the way my sin. You know what I hate is when your situation is awesome and then somebody comes and changes it on you. Adversity to see much larger things as a life threatening illness. It's a larger thing. Like, I don't know what this is going to do. Is it, you know, is it cancer? Is it going to be something? Is it going to change my life? I mean, major stuff, major adversity, or even along those lines, a loss of a job or a loss of a home or loss of a relationship or loss of a loved one. Right. We're talking about major adversity. Right. Major adversity. So these adversities will come to our life. No one on the planet is exempt from them, right? We get that. We get that this evening. We understand that. Amen. We're all on page with that. Man, I got four pages. It looks a lot more when it printed out. Yeah. Okay. C. When your faith faints. When your faith faints. It says there in verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Listen, number one, the word faint here doesn't mean to pass out. That's kind of the way we think of it, passes out. It doesn't necessarily mean that here. The idea is this, and here's the definition. I looked it up, and the definition is to sink down, to drop out, and to show oneself slack. Okay, look, if you look, there, we find it over here in Proverbs 18. I like to look, when I'm looking up words, I like to see how that word is translated in the other places of the same writer. You understand what I mean? Because we write, like, so in the Proverbs, I mean, we could find it the same, but, you know, like, even in English, we have a definition. We'll have, you got one word that could be like four or five or six different definitions. And what you'll find is we, and you'll notice with me, I use a lot of the same terms. So if I use a term, I'm using a word this way, and you'll do the same thing. We all kind of do that. So here's what we find over in Proverbs chapter 18, and in verse 9, we find it here. It says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." So we find the word that over there is faint is translated here as slothful. We kind of get a little bit more of an understanding of it. It gives us the sense of failing to do what we should do. what we find here in Proverbs 18. In Proverbs 18, in this verse, it is to fail or to faint, or to not give effort and be slothful in our work. You know, we think of somebody slothful, we just think you're lazy, right? Isn't that kind of the word we think? But really the idea is a little bit more nuanced than lazy. It kind of gives the idea that they kind of just falling short of it. Didn't do all that they should have in their work. And should have. A lot of times we go to the negative right away. Something's wrong with them. You know, they should have. They're slothful. You should have worked harder. You're being lazy. A lot of times when somebody doesn't do it all, but there's sometimes there's other things going on. And I would like to say a lot of times it's spiritual in nature. Sometimes it's emotional. People have baggage, right? Different things are going on. But I want us to kind of see when the reason we're looking at that for a moment. I want us to grab a hold of what's being said over here in Proverbs 24. So number two. Under that, we faint in the moment, okay? I want to talk about in the moment, or as it says in our scripture here, or day of adversity. When we faint in the moment, or the day of adversity, as it says in the scripture, it reveals the strength of our faith. Again, in chapter 24, in verse 10, it says, If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So what it does is when we faint, or it says if or when, okay, it's going to be when. It's going to be when sometimes. You get that? Well, I'm never going to faint in my faith. Yeah, that's what Peter said. Right? How'd that work out for him? Right? Peter is considered the denier of Christ. So what I'm saying, it's going to be when we faint in our faith, it reveals the strength of our faith. Okay? So under that A, should you or I falter, or rather when you or I falter, and we come up short or otherwise slack, it reveals that our strength is small. That's what it says in this passage here, that our strength is small. And so be under that. The word small here means narrow. Narrow. Narrow or shallow or really what it means is there's not much to it. Well, man, I got really big faith. Well, well, I just have small faith. You know, it's kind of, sometimes we use these kind of words, but what is it? It kind of gets down, what's talking about is there's something... The idea here is that there's not much of it. Or can I say it another way? There's not enough faith. Okay? There's something missing, or we're not there yet. Something is not there yet in our life. So number three, if you faint, your strength is small. Okay? That's the conclusion we come to in this verse. Okay, look here. Watch. I want you to catch this, what I'm going to say here, because we're going to... I want to help develop what we're talking about here. Fainting, slacking, not living out what you say you believe, right? Sinking away from your faith. Those things don't narrow your faith. Watch. This is what I'm going to say to you. You've got to catch this. Don't miss this. Because otherwise you're going to miss the whole point of what I'm talking about tonight. By fainting... By failing, by coming up short, by slacking, doesn't make your faith narrow. It doesn't make your faith small. You follow me? It doesn't make your faith less. Oh, when I fail, I make my faith less. No. I mean to say that, listen, our failure isn't what hurts our faith or makes it smaller. Y'all with me? So if I fail, I don't all of a sudden get less faith. A, fainting reveals the strength of the faith that we possess. So it doesn't, you say, man, you just when you do that, you really hurt your faith. No, that's not what this is about tonight. This isn't about you hurt. It's not about making our faith worse by not following what we say we believe. What it actually does is when we fail and we come up, I don't really want to use the word fail. I want to use the word slack or come up short, or we don't follow through, or we back away from something. We find what it's doing. It's revealing what's actually already in us. What's already, this is what we have. Remember I said before, it's hard to quantify it. It's hard for us to quantify our own faith. Brings us to number two. Roman number two. Fainting isn't failure. But it can be. But it can be. That's the blank. Fainting to come up short isn't failure in this respect. But it can be. And we're going to talk about that here. You ever thought you were good at something? I mean, you really did think you were really good at this thing. You know, your mama told you were good at it. Your friends told you the same. Yeah, I know you're good at that. So much so that everybody around you pumped you up, that you believed all the hype without actually any real demonstration of it in the real world. Now, you're a great singer. They tell you you're a great singer. You're like, yeah, I'm a great singer. Yeah, everybody says I'm a great singer. And then you're like, wow. And then the person gets up there to sing and you're like, you ain't got no friends. Your friends don't like you. You ever seen somebody, not y'all did, y'all ever seen somebody out in public with an outfit, and you see them in that outfit and you're like, you don't have a friend. You don't have any friends that are friend enough to tell you don't go out in public like that. You see them sometimes, you see, like, I don't know, I mean, some guys will do this, but it's mostly more women. And I just see some of these women, I'm thinking, maybe I'm not stylish. I'm the first to admit, I've never been accused of being stylish, okay? So, but I look at, and I'm thinking, that is, first of all, unflattering. I mean, that's gross, second. Third, is that cool? I don't know what's cool. So I'm like, maybe that's cool with other friends. And I'm thinking, you don't have a friend. Nobody came up to you and said, hey, please, don't do that to yourself. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't have friends. By the way, I don't think we need to be hurting each other. I'm just telling you, ugly. No, I'm not saying like that. I'm not saying, but I am talking about, sometimes we just think we're good at something because somebody told us we were, but we've never actually lived it out in real life. Right? Look here. A, under that, there are plenty of people that cannot bench press 250 pounds. I'm one of them. Plenty of people cannot bench press 250 pounds. If I tried to bench press 250 pounds, I'd hurt myself. I would. I got bad shoulders. I would go and I'd probably try to do it. And maybe I might choke myself out. You know what I'm saying? I might hurt myself, and it would be, and probably I would embarrass myself if it was out in public at a gym or something. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I should not think that I could go compete in a weightlifting contest. What I'm saying is, just because you could. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was. My first base, I was going to the gym, and I went to the gym even before I got there. I started. Some guy came and said, "Man, you're the next Arnold Schwarzenegger." I didn't even know Arnold Schwarzenegger was a weightlifter. I just thought he was an actor, and I thought, then it's, I'm like, what is he saying? I thought about that for years and years and years. I thought about, what does he mean? Maybe I could really. I was a scrawny guy then. I mean, I don't know what he was saying. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to encourage me to keep going. But something like that could stick in your head, yeah. Then you walk by the mirror and you're like, the gym is the funniest thing. You see all these guys, I mean, they're a little scrawny on there, and then they go lift a weight and then they go check it again. Like, that's not how it works. But listen, but sometimes we can think, what I'm getting at is we can think our faith is great when in fact it's not much. And then we think we're ready to go live it out, and the fact is we don't have it. So, look here. Number one, fainting in faith demonstrates to us the weakness of our faith. So, A, God, watch this. God does not want us to remain in ignorance. God does not want you and I to remain in our ignorance, thinking we're good at something that we're not, thinking we have this great faith when we don't. God doesn't want to leave us there. Man, God isn't over there like, no, it's so cute. They think they're good. No, God isn't interested in doing that with us. So here's the thing. He allows opportunities for adversity to come to our life. God allows that to come to our life because, see, the adversity, though it is trouble, it reveals the weakness that's in us. Sure, it is trouble, but it is trouble, and it brings trouble to our life and difficulties. But it reveals that weakness that's in us. If you never fail at something, we don't have any sense to try to build up on that thing. Two, therefore, fainting when we face adversity isn't failure. It is our opportunity to become wise. Man, why does that clock go so fast? Did somebody mess with that clock? It's just like, man, that was 3 hours ago. Okay, back to number two. Fainting, when we face adversity, it isn't failure. It's our opportunity to become wise. It's our opportunity to see something, to learn something, to get something. Fainting can become failure when we reject its truth. That's it right there. You see, here's the problem. Hey, just because I fail at something, I heard this thing. I'm trying to get it straight in my mind. The good thing could be the enemy of the best thing. Can I say good things could be the enemy of what God wants for us? Because something will happen like this. We kind of just get content with where we're at. This is pretty good. Life is pretty good. And we just kind of say, you know what? I want to just kind of rest here. We don't say that. Well, I'm just going to kind of keep living out this. This is a pretty good life. This is a pretty good situation. It's pretty good spirituality. Pretty good place where I'm at. And we just kind of rest in it. And God says, can I say this? God says, you ain't where you think you are. Maybe I can say it another way. You're not where God wants you to be. By the way, none of us are. Unless we're completely like Christ. Okay? Anybody there yet? The Apostle Paul says, not that I have attained. And he got about as close as I think anybody else other than Christ could do. Right? And he said, not that I've attained, but I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But here's the thing. When we get to that place, when everything goes our way all the time, which is what I like, by the way. But when everything goes our way, we kind of just relax. And God says, you know what? I want to press you. I want you to see that there's more. You know, it's... Anybody here ever climbed mountains, done any kind of mountain climbing at all? Maybe hills, you know, follow the trail. So Kayla, she had this bright idea to climb a mountain. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. That was stupid. You know, why would I say that? But I did. I said, okay, I'll go with you. And we happened to be in Colorado. And at Colorado Springs. I said, let's go. I'm telling you, this was like a Friday, Saturday. We're talking about that. I said, yeah, let's go climb. I looked it up. You know, you could climb that mountain. You could climb Pikes Peak. It's only 14,000 feet. I said, yeah, let's go do that tomorrow. It was Sunday. We're at a church on Sunday. I said, yeah, let's go in the morning. What's wrong with me? So anyway, we do that, and we decide to go climb that mountain. And I'll tell you, it's hardest. Well, probably one of the most physically grueling things I ever did. I've never been that exhausted in my life, and still had to press for. Why did you have to press for? I don't know. You just kind of feel like you. So we're going. I mean, I'm literally spent. But we're still going, and we get to the top. And I'm telling you, you get to the top. This weird thing, it was Kayla and Kara was with me the first time, I think. Yeah, Kayla and Kara. I think the first time it was three of us. Second time it was Kayla. Yeah, we did it twice. It was Kayla, Kara, and Joy. The four of us went. You get up to the top, I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. You get up to the top, and there's this emotion. I'm not a crier. I don't cry. Not like that. Maybe sometimes watching Hallmark. But, you know, I'm telling you, we got up there, and the girls are just, they're bawling, you know. And I'm trying to fight it back. You get back in, you know what I mean? And it's just, where's this overwhelming emotion like that we did it? Maybe it was like, oh, it's over. And my wife and the girls were up there, picked us up. We drove the car back down. Whew, we were out of that thing. And maybe that was the emotion. But it was so weird. It was a weird, we did not expect this emotional thing. So I got thinking about, you know, when we get to the top of the mountain, it's like so exciting. You did that. I'm telling you, God has some peaks that he wants to take us up to. And you know what we want to do? We want to say, you know what, this is a pretty good view. Let's stay here. My wife and I want to see if we can find a job on a cruise ship now. Can we find a job and just live on that thing, right? You know, and you think, sometimes you find something that's so exciting, you've enjoyed, and you get up there, right? And you know, and God says, hey, there's a valley I'm fixing to take you to. You're like, no, God, no, I want to stay up here. Because I like this up here. God says, no, I got to take you through a valley. Why? This is awesome. Why would I want to go? And so God takes us through allows adversity to come. Sometimes God brings it. Sometimes he allows it to come. And we go through that adversity. You know what happens? We realize there's some weakness in us and we begin to grow. You know what we find out? There was a higher peak. And you're like, I thought I'd got as close to anybody could ever get, as close as I could ever get to God. God says, that's cute. I got something for you so much greater, but you can't get there from here. You don't bounce from peak to peak. It doesn't work that way. Man, I'm going to just finish these last, we're going to finish next week, sorry. I have an illustration for you too, so I've got to use that next week. I mean, I've got next week. So look here, number three. None of us just have great strength, okay? None of us just have great strength. We all begin our life in Christ with a faith that has small strength. That's it. We all start there from ground level, right? We all start from there. Neither you nor I are expected to just appear on the scene with great faith. You get what I'm saying to you tonight? We don't just show up and get saved and we're like, no, man, I think it would help us if we just quit thinking like that. A lot of times we just jump in and think, well, I'm expected all this stuff. God doesn't expect that from you. And can I say this? We ought to do better in not expecting that of each other. Because what we end up doing is we try to pretend like we're at our expectation when we're not. And we deceive ourselves and others. And so here's what he said. Listen, there's going to be times when this stuff's going to come and God's going to reveal this to you so we can see where our strength is, where we can see how weak it is so that we'll be pressed to go on. We're going to talk about that more under there. I wish we had more time, but the rest of them are going to be wrapping it up. And if I don't, but B, I'll just let you know, how does our strength increase? And we're going to talk about that some more next week. So don't miss it. Come back. You miss the other half. It's going to be, man, we got a problem without the answer. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your care into our lives. Lord, you're so interested in us. What an amazing God you are. Father, we live in a world that is so disconnected from what they put their hope in. Put their hope in the stars or the alignment of the planets or horoscope or any other things, Lord, that they're so detached. And yet, God, you are interested in our life and you mingle in our affairs. And Lord, you guide and you direct. And so we're so thankful for that tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we leave tonight with this understanding, Lord, that we're not perfect. We don't have that great strength, but Lord, that you want to do some things in our life that would strengthen it for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless, would you help us this week and through our life. And we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.